I said last week it was going to be our last week, but this week is going to be our last week in Nehemiah. But it has been an awesome teaching. I am so, Nehemiah is a great platform to teach leadership from. And guys, give me my old sermon title for last week. The old sermon title was Nehemiah, the never-ending process of adjusting and correcting. That was last week's sermon title. We didn't get through all the points, so we're going to go over it again. But as I was studying this out this week, I kind of want to change the sermon title. And, the sermon title is Nehemiah, One Bad Dude. Or I could entitle it Nehemiah, A Man of Integrity. Or I could entitle this Nehemiah... was a bullfrog? No. Nehemiah, a man who would not walk in fear. Or I could title it Nehemiah, walk in righteousness. You get the picture. The picture is Nehemiah. We talked about it last week. We started to talk about it last week. Nehemiah, he comes into, they build the wall. You know the story because we've been teaching it for a long time. Nehemiah, he is the cupbearer, which means he tested the king's food and drink and to make sure it wasn't poisoned. And he had a great, pretty kickback job. Unless somebody poisoned the king. But think about it. If that ain't happening, how many know this is a good job to have? You know, he's in the palace. It's just a great job. And and he sees and recognizes there's people who are starting to go back and they're letting them back into Jerusalem. But the walls aren't built. And because the walls have been torn down. So he recognizes that's a problem. Because other kingdoms can come in there and take advantage of that. So he builds the walls back up. They're back up. They make a commitment to serve God. They start reading the scripture. It's just incredible time. They start reading the scripture in public. When they're reading the scripture in public, just the power of God and the correction of God comes to all the people, and they just sell out to God. They're willing to sign this commitment to serve God, to not have any other idols, make sure their kids are in line. It's just a beautiful time. And you think, yeah, that's a good ending. You know what I mean? Except the problem is the book doesn't end there. Nehemiah leaves for another assignment for 2 years. He comes back, and when he comes back, things are off the plumb line. And he shows us great leadership of, how many know when you're a leader, all kinds of people are going to say, well, you should have done like that. And Nehemiah, it just shows leadership, and he takes this guy that was asked to come in the temple, and this guy is not a good guy. Now the Bible says, either make your heart right and your fruit right, and he's yakking and criticizing. He's the guy who says, you guys are so lame, even a fox is going to go on your wall, and the whole wall is going to crumble. And that's the guy who they let in. It's interesting because we spent all last week talking about this, and not only looked at Nehemiah's correction. Did you know what the Bible says? The Bible says Nehemiah goes into the temple and he takes the guy's stuff. Remember this last week? And what does he do? He throws it out. You know what I mean? Who did that? Nehemiah did that. Many times leadership is about leading because people won't do the hard stuff a lot of times. So you got to do it. So Nehemiah takes his stuff, throws it out, and he's going to do the right thing because he knows the right thing to do. and it's going to take leadership. You know, sometimes it's easy to see, you know what, faults in young people. Y'all know where I'm going with this, right? I mean, no, it's easy to see faults in young people. But what is bad for young people to do is bad for us to do. And Nehemiah just shows an incredible integrity to not measure it out as far as, what is going to be the consequence? You know, when you're a leader, you got to make some tough choices sometimes. Some choices that not everybody's going to agree with. It's interesting because you look in the Bible, you're going to find that almost all the time, you know who's wrong? The majority is wrong. Almost all the time. But we need to be willing to side with God on things. Hello? You know, I said last week, many times as that person was kicked out of the temple, you know what? We won't side on righteousness. We'll side on, a lot of times it's the squeaky oil, the squeaky wheel gets the grease. And the person who's doing the righteous thing, you know what? Doesn't make a big deal out of it, doesn't cry about it, just does the right thing. But the person who's doing the wrong thing is usually, many times, the quickest to gossip, the quickest to criticize, the quickest to play the poor papacito card. Hello, somebody. And a lot of times we don't discern. We ought to back up leadership. I'm going to say that again. We ought to back up leadership. But instead, we go to that one, you know what, who's critical and whining and judgmental, and we hug them and say, oh yeah, they you know what, Nehemiah shouldn't have done that to you. When we should back up the leadership, it says, that's absolutely right. You know what? You have no business, you know, being in the temple. Wow, it's getting quiet here. But Nehemiah is staying with what is right. And a lot of times in the face of the majority, good leadership says, no, I'm going to do what is right to do. And listen to me. And let me tell you what Nehemiah is doing. Let me tell you what Nehemiah is doing. Nehemiah is protecting God's people. Amen. And sometimes, even if God's people don't recognize that, sometimes to do the right thing in your family, you're going to be misunderstood. Let me tell you, leaders. Let me tell you, men. Let me tell you, women. You know what? Let me tell you, young people. You still need to do the right thing. Amen. Because you were put, it was my first point last week, and we won't spend the whole time on this. We'll just review for a little bit. But the point is, you know what, my first point is, you have to walk in God's power. What I mean with power, you have to walk in God's authority. That's your authority. That's your, what the New Testament says, this is your sphere. Hello? And so even though it's uncomfortable sometimes to confront, it's our job. See, if you're head of the household, it's your job to get that back on the plumb line. Amen. So Nehemiah isn't afraid to do it, and he shows great leadership. My number one point is you have to walk in God's authority. You have to recognize if you've been given, listen to me, if you've been given that place of authority, you have to man up and take responsibility of that. And it doesn't always mean you get out the hammer. Hello? If you have a toolbox, you know what? A plumber has a hammer in the toolbox. because there are times that he needs the hammer. But how many know plumbers who always get out the hammer are not good plumbers? Are you hearing what I'm saying? You ever know some people in authority and all they seem to know is the hammer? Listen to me, because I need to teach you. Listen, I need to teach you this. Some people who've been given authority, that's all they ever get out is the hammer. Others never get out the hammer. How many know if you're a plumber, there is a time that you need a hammer? Absolutely, that's why it is. But some plumbers, they never use the hammer. Other plumbers always use the hammer. Well, what's right? They're both wrong. You shouldn't always use the hammer, and you shouldn't always not use the hammer. But there are times that you need to take that guy's stuff and throw it out. Hello. Amen. When we first got here, you know what? I've told you this before, I'm going to tell it to you again. In the what was then the, remember the old room, we changed it, but it was the kind of coffee room in the very back of the church. We had couches back there. We had some nice couches back there. When I got here, we had couches back there, but they weren't nice couches. You know what couches they were? They were couches that anyone in our church was going to throw away. And then before they threw it away, they said, oh, well, we'll just give it to the church. Can I tell you what? Keep your old couches. If you don't want them, God don't want them. You could say amen louder than that. Amen. You know what? And I'm just saying, and that goes right along with, you know what, we'll say, oh, well, let me see if I got any money left over. And you know what? And I'll throw a 20 in there after you're all done paying all the other bills. Hey, knock it off. This is ungodliness. God wants the first fruits. He doesn't want the last fruits. And he doesn't want your worn out couch that you're going to throw away. And then you're going to buy a new couch and you're going to put that new couch in your house. Oh, this is good preaching. Amen. This is good preaching. And Nehemiah has the integrity, leadership, strong leadership to get it back on the plumb line and recognize what's going on. And I'm going to tell you what, I'm going to get your stuff out because it needs to be getting out. And so what did I do? I saw those old, jackety, worn-out couches, and I threw them all out. I wasn't trying to be mean to anybody, but I'm trying to make a statement. Actually, the truth is, I wasn't even trying to make a statement. I just thought, we ain't going to have these couches in here. I wasn't even trying to, ooh, I'm going to show, you know. No, I just thought, Tamara, we need to throw these couches out. We need to throw these couches out. Pastor Bradford used to come in a room and just something would be not right. And he'd say, guys, we're not going to have this. We're not going to have this. He was from North Carolina. Big guy, big loud, you know what, man of excellence. God, we're not going to have this. One time he got upset because we were having some event and somebody decided to take the donuts and cut them in half, you know what I mean? You know when you want like a half a glaze and half a chocolate? You know, somebody just thought, it was a good idea. You know what I mean? They cut them in half. And it was like, I'm going to tell you, Pastor Bradford was over the top. I was like, you know what? Guys, we pulled this all into our, guys, we're just not going to have this. You know, I thought like something important happened. We're not going to do this anymore. I'm thinking, what are we not going to do? Listen, I don't want you cutting those donuts up in two anymore. What is that? Uh-huh. But how many know we didn't cut those donuts up in two anymore? And even though that maybe wasn't a really important thing, you know what? Most of everything that Pastor Bradford said was really important because it had to do with detail and it had to do with excellence. And we loved his passion. Well, I love Nehemiah, who isn't afraid to take his leadership role And he's not afraid of what people are going to say, or watch this, or sometimes afraid of what you're going to say, but do it anyway. Not succumb to the fear. You know what? When I told that elder, hey, we ain't moving on as far as this meeting until we get an apology, because the way you are acting is not okay. I knew going into it. I knew this is going to be an interesting meeting. You know what I mean? And when his wife started crying, and when my own sister starts saying, ooh, you know what? You need to stop. You need to stop. And then there was another lady saying, look, Pastor, let's just move on. I'm thinking, I told you. We're going to move on as soon as I get an apology from this guy. Because it was enough. It was enough of leadership disrespecting, you know what, the pastor, and disrespecting, you know what, the service. We cannot have anointed services where there's flow of the Holy Spirit and have people acting like this. We have got to get rid of the leaven. Amen. And God said, and you were the one who get to do it. And I had to feel that fear and push through that fear. Why? Because if I wasn't going to do it, nobody else is going to do it. That's my sphere. It's my authority. God gave that to me. And God gave it to Nehemiah. And Nehemiah took his stuff and he threw it out. And he's a great example to us. And last week, I gave you not only example of Nehemiah, but time after time after time after time. And we just don't understand this because we haven't been taught it. And it hasn't been modeled to us. And so we just walk in dysfunction, and our churches are walking in dysfunction, and the anointing of the Holy Spirit doesn't flow. The praise and the worship is just singing songs. Why? Because there's strife, and where strife exists, there's every other evil work the Bible says exists. And leadership has got to take strong authority and say, I'm not trying to be confrontational. I'm just trying to get the thing back on the plumb line. And we need to applaud that, not be critical of that. And here, let me help you. Amen, Pastor. That is good. That's good, amen. Thank you, that young man in the front row. Appreciate that. Amen. Number two. Number one, we have to walk in God's power or the authority that we've been given. Number two, we have to watch over our priorities. I'm going to say watch over our priorities. How many of you have got in your car and you get in your car and you think, oh my goodness, my car's a mess. Am I the only one? And you're not necessarily a slob. Really. Matter of fact, you might be a pretty neat person. But what happened is you ran to Burger King or In-N-Out's a better example. You ran to In-N-Out and boom, 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 this and that happened, and this happened, and you're late, and you know what I mean? And then something fell, and you were going to get it, but then, you know, you heard your kids calling you, and you meant to do that. It's not that you're not neat, but you're busy. What I'm saying is, how many know priorities need to be reprioritized all the time? Because many times, what you know should be first in the process of busyness sometimes becomes second and third and fourth. And you've got to look and analyze it and go, no, we got our priorities messed up. Okay, you want to see it in Scripture? So look what happens. Nehemiah chapter 13, and let's start with verse 10. I also realize that the portions of the Levites, I'm sorry, let me give you an advance. First he kicks the guy out. Okay, now we got that taken care of. How many know many times as leaders, you have many problems to take care of, many authority corrections to make,
So he first sees, he comes back and he first sees, oh, this guy's not supposed to be here. And nobody, obviously, is going to kick him out. Matter of fact, this guy who you know, thinks he had the authority to do this, I'm going to show him. And I'm going to kick this guy out. And I'm going to pick his stuff up and take and pull and throw it out. That's what the Bible says he did. But there's something else going on. Verse 10. I also recognize, do you see that? I also recognize that the portions for the Levites had not been given to them, for each of the Levites and the singers who did not work had gone back to their field. You know why they went back to their field? Because they were hungry. They stopped taking care of the Levites that were there to take care of the temple. So the Levites were like, what do we do? Well, I guess we got to go back and go to the field. We got to eat. And he sees that and he recognizes this is a problem. Verse 11. So I contended with the rulers. Ooh, let's stop there. So I contended with the rulers and said, who's not doing this? The rulers. The rulers should have never let it not happen. They should have always made sure the Levites were taken care of. But they didn't. So what does the leader have to do? The leader has to contend with the people who don't make it right. That's what leadership does. There's times when it's not right, and you have to contend. You have to straighten it out. And many times, they'll come up with, oh, well, yeah, but all this stuff. You have to just say, nope, we're going to get this back on the plumb line. Right is right. Wrong is wrong. I'm the leader, and this is what we're going to do. It's not okay that these Levites are out there, you know what, picking raspberries. You know what I mean? Really? They shouldn't be picking raspberries. Remember Paul says this, or the apostle said this, we can do this. Listen, we can do anything we want to do. We can serve the widows. But if we're serving the widows, we're not going to have time to be praying and seeking God and hearing from God. So here's what let's do. Let's get some godly, awesome men to serve the widows. We're not saying the widows aren't important. What we're saying is we've got to keep the priority. Amen. And so he sees this problem and he's going to correct the problem. Verse 11. So he contended with the rulers and said, why is the house of God forsaken? Wow, that's a great question. That's a great question, is it not? You know why it's forsaken? Because we had people who just said, eh, it ain't no big deal. We don't have to do it God's way. We can do it however we want. We're going to come up with a better way. Here, we can save some money. How many know the most important thing that we need to figure out is our spirituality? Man, I'm just saying, this is hard to preach because of the position that I'm in. But let me tell you why I'm going to preach it. Because it needs to be taught. Paul said, you've got a lot of teachers, but you don't have a lot of fathers. Why do you say it? Because it was the truth. He had to teach those people, hey, guys, my position is really, really, really important. And sometimes you feel kind of funny saying that to people. But I'm going to tell you what, we've got to teach the truth. So, verse 11. So I contended with the rulers and said, why is the house of God forsaken? Now, I'm going to show you why it's forsaken. And I gathered them together and set them in their place. What's he doing? He's saying, listen, guys, we're going to fix this, and we're going to fix this good.
There was a... All right, next verse. Then all Judea brought the tithe of the grain and the new wine and the oil in the storehouse. Did you see that? See, look at that. Look at verse 12. What's the first word in verse 12? Then. Say, then is leadership. See, all eyes up here. 11 happens, then 12 can happen. What he does is he sits down, you know what, the rulers, he sits them down, and here's what he's saying. Hey guys, we ain't having this no more. Those Levites that are picking the raspberries, I'm gonna go out there and they ain't gonna pick raspberries anymore. Because they're picking raspberries, and the whole, you know what, the whole house of God is not as it should be. I'm going out there. I'm telling them to come in here, stop picking raspberries, stop being out on the fields, and you know what? And that's how it's going to be. When he says that, then, come on, everybody, then all Judea brought the tithe of the grain and the new wine and the oil in the storehouse. Watch this. Guys, you're the leader of your sphere. And if you sit there and just say, I ain't gonna say anything to my kids, you know what I mean? They'll be mad at me, you know what I mean? I ain't gonna say anything, you know what, to my spouse. I ain't gonna say anything, you know what I mean? I ain't gonna, you know. If that's your attitude, then guess what happens? It's chaos. See, you need to bring righteous order into your house. Amen. He can bring righteous order to the house and say, listen, these guys aren't being taken care of. The house of God is a mess, and I'm going to straighten it out. Amen. Amen. And so that's what he does. He straightens the thing out. And when he straightens it out, watch this. Because how many know? Many times people will get away with as much as you allow them to get away with. That's why Dr. Radke teaches, when he teaches leadership and predominantly talking to pastors, he says he's got this line. This is the plumb line. And he says sometimes people in your church, they'll start to get off the plumb line. And what he teaches is don't let them get off the plumb line very far. As soon as you can, snap it back on the plumb line. That's what Pastor Bradford would do. And so it made it real, real easy because most people won't get off the plumb line because he wouldn't allow it. Hello? And understand, leadership can only do so much because we can't force you, you know what, we can't force you to do anything. Although, we're going to look at Nehemiah and we're going to see how adamant he was. Are you catching this? So, see, if you're not going to do it, who's going to do it? You've been given the authority to do it. Who's going to do it? Who's going to say it if you don't say it? Who's going to bring it up? Who's going to correct it? If you are the one to bring the correction, you know, if you're the one to bring the bowling ball and you know what? Who's going to bring the bowling ball? Hello? That's your responsibility. And you've got to recognize your responsibility. And sometimes it's you're the one. And we look, especially nowadays, because it's like, oh, you know what, it's all, you know, the attitude is like this. The attitude is like, oh, dude, it's all good. It's all good. It's all good. No. See, that's not the attitude that brings it back in the plumb line. Sometimes you have to look at your family. Sometimes you have to look at the sphere of influence you've been given and say, it's not all good. And it's my responsibility to get this back on the plumb line. And I'm going to do it because that's what's right to do. And recognize when you do it, a lot of times, particularly if you haven't done it for a long time. That's why Dr. Radke says, get it back on the plumb line right away. Yeah. Because if you have shown an aptitude to just let things slide and let things slide and let things slide and let things slide, and all of a sudden you hear a sermon like this, you're I'm going to correct, man. Well, pastor fired me up. I'm going to make the correction. Hey, we'll make the correction, but get ready. Because you have trained those people real good. All right, let's talk about my dogs. Can I talk about my dogs? I'm telling you what, my dogs are great dogs when Tamara and Granny are gone. They are great dogs when Granny and Tamara are gone because Tamara and Granny have trained them. I'm serious, Casey. You better get it. I'm serious. Granny, you watching? Hallelujah. She's in Chicago right now. I hope you're watching. I'm just saying, she knows I say this in public. She knows this. I say this to her face. You know what? You don't train. You train the dogs to do. You know what? So the dog's outside. Granny's like, get in. You know what? Casey looks at her. Huh? Wait, Granny, I'm not done. I'm going to come in when I want to come in. And then she'll go, get in. And then I'll then I'll go outside and say, Casey, get in. Doug goes, shh. Right in. You know what? And then Granny will say this, I'm serious, Casey. You better behave. You know, true story. I'm serious, Casey. You better, I'm mad at you now. 10 seconds later, you dogs want a treat? Tell her, what are you doing? You're teaching them the wrong thing. Okay. We're going to laugh at Granny, right? Okay, will you laugh at you? Because what happens is, you know what, when you let those who are in authority under you and you don't get it back on the plumb line quickly, then what you've trained, here's what you've trained them. You say whatever you want to say and they don't listen. You used to see in the grocery store all the time. You know what? Grocery store on purpose. They put all the they put all the candy on the low. Why they put it low? Because the four-year-olds can't reach up high. Let's get it where the four-year-olds can reach. And they know. And mama's putting the stuff on the counter. You know what? And you know what? And Johnny's grabbing the, you know what? The Reese's Pieces. You know what I mean? And then she turns around and goes, oh, no, we're going to eat dinner. And he measures the whole thing out. You see, I've seen this so many times in his mind. You measure the whole thing out. He's thinking, well, she's over there and I'm over here. And you know what? She kind of doesn't mean anything she ever says anyway. So, and the next thing you know, I've seen this happen with not Reese's Pieces, Reese's Peanut Butter Cup. You know, there's two of them, right? And so, you know, he opens it. No, I'm serious. He's opening up right in front of her. I'm serious. You better not eat that. Right in his mouth. Okay, but you better not eat that other one. So I'm going to say, lady, are you kidding me? Give me that. I'm going to eat the other one. Hello? Just infuriate me. Here's why that's infuriating. Because that four-year-old needs to be trained better than that. Can I tell you what? The 12-year-old needs to be trained better than that. You know what? While I'm on this subject, I'm just saying, you know what? This is just free. It's just free. If you have teenagers, you have no business. Oh, it's wrong. I'm just telling you. You have no business. You know what? Allowing them to have their phones at night. No business. You have no business allowing them. Well, where are they supposed to charge? They charge their phones in your room. No, but they won't like that. Yeah, well, you got a ton of problems with them. They're, you know what? They're flunking all their grades. You know what? They barely stay awake. Why? Because they're on their phone all night. You know what? And they have no sleep. You've got to create order in your homes, parents. Why? It's your responsibility. Amen. This is good. Oh, this is good tape. Amen. So Nehemiah sees this correction, sees this problem, sees that they're not bringing the tithe into the storehouse. I'm just saying, be careful, guys. Okay, I need to move on. Be careful when you are walking in the blessings of God. Because let me just take it in context. You know why much of this was happening? Because the wall had been built. They're walking in economic prosperity. You know, one of the reasons why the church is as non-effective as the church is, here's why. It's, again, my point two last week. Because we don't recognize that we have the inability to do anything. We don't not recognize that. We think we can do all kinds of stuff. We're walking in this false sense of security based on the fact that I've got a job, I'm just making this up, I make $30,000, I make $40,000, I make $80,000, whatever you make, I don't know. But you know what? But you're whether you recognize it or not, we are a very, very wealthy society. And we're not used to thinking that because, you know what, we look at somebody else who's driving a nicer car and we think, oh, I'm so poor. Stop saying that. You know what? We are one of the wealthiest nations in the world, and when you compare yourself to even Europe, you are very wealthy. And if you compare yourself to Asia, you're incredibly wealthy. And if you compare yourself to South America or Africa, you're crazy wealthy. Beware. Beware. Here, let me show it to you. Deuteronomy. Guys, you don't have it. Deuteronomy chapter 6. Guys in the back, go there. Deuteronomy chapter 6. Deuteronomy chapter 6. And look at verse, it's interesting, look at verse 12 first. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 12. Then beware, lest you forget the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt, that was when you were poor, from the house of bondage. Well, no, guys, stick at 12. Then beware. Oh, when beware? Thank you for asking. Somebody say, when beware? Say, is it, then beware? Okay, when? I'm going to tell you right here. Look at verse 10. Guys, go up to verse 10. So it shall be when the Lord your God brings you into the land of which I swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give you large and beautiful cities, which you did not build, houses full of good things, which you did not fill, hewed out wells, which you did not dig, vineyards and olive trees, which you did not plant. Then you have eaten, when you have eaten and full, and are full, then beware. See, let me tell you what happens. You know what? You finally get a good job. You finally get your car paid off. You finally, you know what, get in a situation, and all of a sudden, you know what? When you should recognize. You know why you're there? You're there by the grace of God. You by yourself can do nothing. You are completely unable to do anything. Wow, that point needs to be like tattooed on our forehead. Every time you look in the mirror, you don't even recognize that. Why? Because we get in this cockiness. We get in this arrogance. And, oh, look at what I built. Look at what I did. Look at how much I make. Look at the job I have. Look at, you know, look at boom, 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 boom. Ah, beware. Because, you know what? Pastor Bradford was a wonderful pastor, and he just taught excellence, taught us over and over. You can do, you know what? You can do what God has called you to do. And there were so many business owners that started with nothing. And underneath his leadership and his encouragement, and you know what, that start to to tithe and that start to be faithful, you know what, in coming to church and bringing their family to church, and you'd see the blessings of God come in their life. And the same people that would start off with nothing, and you'd see God just raise them up. It was just incredible. Next thing you know what? They're too busy to come to church. Wow. Why? Because, are you kidding me? You know what I mean? I have 2 factories now. I have 100 employees now. I have, you know what? And you said, well, Pastor, I don't have that. Well, what do you have? What is the thing that's keeping you from the house of God, from being consistent, from humbling out? What is it? Because you might not have that, but let me tell you what, you're blessed, and don't allow the blessings of God to be the thing that keeps you from the house of God. Amen. Amen. And don't allow your kids to let, you know what, the prosperity that you've created. You know what? They have a flat screen, and they have a MP3, and they have a this game and that game. You know what I mean? That's the very thing. You know what? Here, for some of you, you need to go in their room just like Nehemiah did. You know what I mean? Don't kick them out. Take the stuff and throw it in the garbage. Because why? It's garbage. It's garbage, and it's creating garbage, and it's putting garbage in their head, and you bought it, and you paid for it, and now, you know what, you're like, ooh. And the very thing that has prospered you is the very thing that is keeping, and the Holy Spirit says to you tonight, beware, and you need to make that correction. Amen. I'm still smiling, right? Amen. See? Why? That's what happened to the Israelites. They're walking in the prosperity of God. And they're walking, and the walls are built. And now that the walls are built, they're safe. And so they can start to build up the economics, and they're letting, and they're, you know what, and the very thing, you know what, now they're forgetting to take care of the Levites. And it's a mess. And he confronts him and says, let me tell you, I'm going to straighten this out. And sometimes that's all it takes is for you to be honest and straighten it out. Then all this stuff happens. Then all of a sudden everybody gets back in line. It's about leadership. It's about leading. Amen? And my final point three, warn others about keeping their priorities. Warn others about keeping their priorities. You got leaders around you. You are your brother's keeper. Particularly if you have relationship with those people close to you. You have to warn them about it. Because all of us can forget what's important. Can we not? Look at, go back to Nehemiah. Nehemiah chapter 13. Look at verse 15. This is so powerful. Chapter 13. Look at verse 15. Are you guys learning anything tonight? Yes. Look at verse 15. In those days I saw people in Judea treading wine presses on the Sabbath and bringing in sheaves and loading donkeys with grapes, with wine, grapes, figs, and other all kinds of burdens, which they brought into Jerusalem on the Sabbath day, and I warned them. See, it's not just about you. It's about you recognizing there's other leaders, there's other people around you, and they have to be warned. And I warned them about the day on which they were selling the provision. You know, sometimes your Christian neighbor just needs to be reminded, hey, do you know you're doing that? You know what day it is? I love and I encourage every single one of you. You hear one, the Bible said, let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth. You hear one word. One negative word about somebody else, about me, my wife, my kids, somebody else in this church, Pastor George, Pastor Lydia, you know what, the worship team, you know what, or you. One word and just smile at them. Say, really? We need to talk to Pastor about this. Let's go to his office. Take him by the hand. You know what I mean? Let's go to his office right now. Take him by the hand. You know what I mean? And as you start walking, they'll go like, did I say that? I meant to say spaghetti. You know what I mean? I don't know what I was thinking. Hello? See, but can I tell you what? We need to help people. And that's what he's saying. This kind of shenanigans, you guys know better. You all signed that thing. Remember 2 years ago, y'all signed that? Watch what's happening. They're not respecting, they're not bringing in the tithe. They're not consistent to come to church on Sunday. Go to verse 23. And those days I saw Jews who married women of the Ashad, Ammon, and Moab. What are these? These are different groups, not, you know what, that are ungodly. Different gods. We're to serve God and God alone. The God of Abraham. Does this make sense? Yes. And half of their children spoke the language of the Ashad and could not speak the language of Judah, but spoke according to the language of the one and the other people. See, they're not godly anymore. They're talking the way the world talks. They're talking the way the ungodly talks. So I contended with them and cursed them, struck some of them, and pulled out their hair and made them swear by God, saying, you shall not give your daughters or your wives to their sons, nor take their daughters for their sons for yourselves. Wow. Huh? Watch this. Did not Solomon, king of Israel, sin by these things? He knew his history. Yet among many nations, there was no king like him. Can I tell you what? Don't be deceived. Just because you started good doesn't mean you ended good. Amen. He's saying, oh, let me tell you what. Solomon was all that in bag of chips. Was serving God and loved God and you know what? But look what happened to him. Why? Because he started doing these things. Well, I don't have to go to church every week, Pastor. All right. Little living, living's a whole loaf. That's what the Bible says. Yet among many nations, there was no king like him who was beloved of his God, and God made him king over all Israel. Nevertheless. Everybody say, nevertheless. See, don't be deceived. Don't think because you've sown good seed. Don't think that you can't change. That's what he's saying. He's saying, and let me tell you what, I got an example for you. Nevertheless, pagan women caused even him to sin. Mm-mm. How many of Solomon got? Guys, how many of Solomon got jacked up? Be strong in your leadership. You know what? You don't always have to bring a hammer. But you know what? You got people close to you. You know how many people get, watch this, you know how many people get in OSL? Not because I asked them to get in OSL, but because somebody else in the church says, hey, I know you've gone through level one. We got a level two coming up. So many people. You know, there are so many people right now in the intern program. And I talk about how awesome the intern program. You know why they're in the intern program? Not because of me. Because Joel has said, hey, what are you doing this summer? You ought to get in the intern program. All I'm saying is first look at yourself and make sure you're doing these things. And make sure, and listen, and leadership is tough. Some of you need to look yourself in the mirror and say, hey, I got to get in line with these things. I've let some of these things slip, and I got to get it back together because people are watching me. See, it's hard to tell your kids to do something if you're not doing it. So you need to look at yourself in the mirror and say, man, I need to make some corrections. I need to straighten some things out. Because when you do that, you're going to be able to talk to others about it. You're going to understand your sphere. And it won't be, one of my mentors taught me this. He said, preach what you're walking in. And you know why I said that? Because when you preach what you're walking in, you can preach it with conviction. It's not like one of those, you know what, do as I say, not as I do. What is that? There's no conviction in that. You can't really tell your kids. I mean, you can tell your kids whatever you want. But you know this, your kids aren't going to do what you tell them to do. They're going to do what they see you do. All right. Wow. Did you learn some stuff today? If somebody would just say, be bold enough to raise your hand, say, Pastor, I have let some things slip. In my life, maybe that's it. Maybe it's you let some things slip with you just under your sphere. You've let some things go. They're off the plumb line, and you want to get it back on. You know what? I just want you to raise your hand. That's what we're here for. We're here not only to be corrected, but then we're here to ask God. God, we need help. We can't just hear God's word. We need to hear it, and then we need to do it. How many need help in doing God's word? I do. Let's ask God to help us. Can we do that? If that's you, just raise up your hand all over the room. Don't be shy. Don't be afraid. Don't be intimidated. Don't feel like somebody's going to judge you. You judge you. Father, you see the hands up. Help every hand. My hand's up too, God. Help me to be a strong leader. Help me not to let things go that have been given my authority. Help me to not have the hammer out all the time, but help me to pull the hammer out when the hammer needs to be pulled out. Help me to be sensitive to God. Help me not to be in fear. Father, help all of us to first lead by example. And if there's correction that needs to be made, help us to make that correction. God, I thank you for every person who has their hand up. I thank you by the power of the Holy Spirit. I decree and declare that, Father, you will help them to do what they need to do. And, Father, I thank you and I give you praise for it. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.